Well, if you haven't gotten it already, our theme for this season of preparation is Get Closer. And we've had a different letter each week, and the letter for this week is S. And S stands for star. Anne Weems wrote a poem called Star Giving, and it goes like this. What I'd really like to give you for Christmas is a star. Brilliance in a package. Something you can keep in the pocket of your jeans or in the pocket of your being. Something to take out in times of darkness. Something that would never snuff out or tarnish. Something you could hold in your hand. Something for wonderment. Something for pondering. Something that would remind you of what Christmas has always meant. God's Advent light into the darkness of this world. I love that phrase, a star, something to take out in times of darkness. Because isn't our life here on this earth a mixture of light and darkness? A mixture of joy and sorrow, a mixture of good times and difficult times, a mixture of feeling like we belong and this is a great place, and feeling I don't belong here, or maybe I don't belong anywhere. Our lives are a mixture. The Christmas story is also a mixture of light and darkness, because it's about real people living a real life. A life just like yours and mine. The Christmas story is woven through with this light and darkness, but most importantly in this story is the assurance, as Karen just read for us, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome that light. You see this interplay of light and darkness, especially in the story that Karen read earlier, the story of what we call the wise men, Matthew's story of the birth of Jesus. And we hear about the visit of these mysterious people that we call wise men. Actually, the New Testament was written in Greek, the first language, and what we have now are translations. And the word in Greek for these people is magi, and it's the same word from which we get the word magician. Now, they could have been magicians, tricksters, if you will, but in that time, that word was also used for scholars, people who perhaps studied the laws of nature and maybe could predict the weather by studying the sky and the laws of nature. And so people thought they were magic, but actually they were just studying what was there to be learned from God's creation. We believe that these were persons who studied the stars, astronomers, early astronomers. And we believe that because God chose to speak to them through the stars. Now, this story is, as I said earlier, a mixture of light and darkness. Since they were following a star, they would have to travel at night. And secondly, it's kind of like setting out in the darkness because we know that they didn't know exactly where they were going. They took a risk leaving their home country and following this star because the destination had not been revealed to them. And isn't that just like the way God often calls us? You know, God gives us that nudge, and we know we're supposed to do this one little thing. We're supposed to set out. But all God gives us often is just the next step along the way. We have to take the risk of setting out, not knowing the final destination. And so these men we call wise men set out. One of our ministries is like that currently. Marty Wagner leads our motel ministry, which we're calling the Budget Inn Community Center. And when he talks about this ministry, he says, I don't know exactly what God's doing. I don't know exactly where this is going to lead. I know God is doing something, and we can see the evidence every time we go over there and every time we meet with these folks, but we don't know where it's going to end up. We have to listen to them. We have to hear what they need. And so the folks that are a part of that ministry are willing to just step out and see where God is leading. The Magi went down a blind alley the first time as they arrived in the country of Israel. They figured they were looking for a king, and so they obviously went to the capital city and they spoke to the current king, Herod. And of course, as you heard from that scripture reading, Herod and all Jerusalem was troubled because they didn't hear anything about this birth of a king. And furthermore, Herod wanted to hold on tight to his power. And so he didn't want to hear about another king. He didn't know about the birth of this child, but he knew who to ask. And so he asked the Jewish scholars, "Where is the Messiah, the king, to be born?" And they gave him the answer, "Bethlehem." And so he called those Magi back to him, and he told them to go and look for this baby in Bethlehem. And he said, "When you find him, bring me word so that I too may come and worship him." But of course, as you know, if you've read farther in the story, he didn't want to worship this child. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to eliminate any chance that there would be a power play. He wanted to eliminate anyone else who would be a possibility of taking over. Well, the Magi left Herod's presence and arrived in Bethlehem and found the baby in a very humble, ordinary setting. But there was something there, something that they recognized. And so they worshiped him and they left their gifts before him. But something happened to them during that time, because whereas they were following a star, and that was the way God spoke to them in the beginning, now God could speak within their hearts. God spoke to them in a dream and said, "Don't return to Herod." And so they returned to their home country by another way, obviously changed by their encounter with this newborn Messiah. There's both light and darkness in this story, and there's both light and darkness in our lives. And the message, as I said earlier, is the assurance that God speaks even in the darkness, and that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. The word for today is star, and as you know, stars can only be seen in the darkness. And the darker the night, the more stars you see. I've had the privilege of seeing a clear night sky in northern Pennsylvania near Cherry Springs State Park. And that's a very special park. You're not allowed to put the headlights on in your car when you go in there at night, because on the top of the hill, astronomers and people who just do it as a hobby are set up on the top of the hill to see the stars. And when you go there on a clear moonless night, the sky is just covered with stars. It is so beautiful. You can even pick out the Milky Way. And it reminds us that you can only see the stars on the darkest of nights. It is that way in our lives. Often in the most difficult times in our lives, God sends these little points of light, these little points of hope and encouragement to us, these little stars in our lives. As Pastor Jenny mentioned earlier, at 3:00 this afternoon at Community United Methodist Church in New Cumberland, the churches in the area are cooperating in a service called Blue Christmas. And it's for those persons for whom Christmas is a difficult time. Perhaps a time of loss. Perhaps a time when you have memories that are not so good. And it's a time to gather together and to hear words of hope and to hear words of comfort. Because Christmas can be a time of darkness as well as light. If you've lost someone very close to you and you're missing them, no matter how long ago it was that you lost them, it can be a sad time. Christmas can be a time of difficulty if you have hard memories, memories of conflict, memories of not having during this season. It can be a difficult time. But God does give stars in the night. Stars are not dramatic things. They're just little points of light, but God sends them to us in our times of darkness. They may come to us in the form of a note from a friend, a phone call from someone that you haven't heard from for a long time, plate of cookies that a neighbor might bring. These little points of joy and happiness, these little points of knowing that the light is still shining, even though it may be dark in your life right now. And so I invite you during this season, and when the darkness comes, even in this season, to look for the stars. You might even want to keep a little star journal. And it might help you to notice the little things that God is doing in your life during this season, even when you're not feeling so happy. Think about that. Ann Weems' poem continues beyond what I read for you earlier. She writes, "What I'd really like to give you for Christmas is a star, brilliance in a package, something you can keep in the pocket of your jeans or the pocket of your being, something to take out in times of darkness, something that would never snuff out nor tarnish, something you could hold in your hand, something for wonderment, something for pondering, something that would remind you of what Christmas has always meant. God's Advent light, even in the darkness of this world." But stars, she writes, are only God's for giving. Perhaps if you ask, God will send you a star. Amen.